this interview, Ed discusses AVO with its chief marketing officer, Conrad Somm. Conrad has worked his entire career in online marketing efforts for children's products and services. He says that kids try anything, while lawyers resist change. You have to put the brakes on the kids and press the gas for the lawyers. Today, AVO puts consumers together with lawyers. Learn about AVO by listening to this must-hear discussion.
Conrad, thanks for joining us today on our podcast for Law Biz Management. It's a pleasure for me to have the opportunity to chat with you.
Well, Ed, thank you very much. I know you are in sunny California. We're in sunny Seattle today, but that will change at any moment.
So too here. We're in between storms as we speak. Our focus today is on what really is a new product, maybe even a new concept for the legal community, and that is that you're the marketing director. You run the marketing efforts for AVO. Tell us a little bit about AVO, how it got started, and basically what is it?
Sure. So, and it's interesting that you say a new concept. It really is a very new approach to an extremely old and traditional business. AVO is an online legal directory, and there are probably thousands of online legal directories, but we are the first to really take a Web 2.0 online-centric and online-savvy approach to how consumers and attorneys interact on the web. So the site is fairly different from everything else that's out there, and that difference has really fueled our growth. I can go into some of those differences a bit later in the call, but we're very different, and it's really paid off by providing consumers with information and attorneys with an outlet to connect with those consumers. And it's been a win-win for both. We now believe, as of last month, we became the most trafficked legal directory in the world. So this web-centric approach and reaching savvy consumers via the web has really paid off.
In other words, you're challenging, if not surpassing, Martindale Hubbell, if I read you correctly.
You are reading correctly. So we believe that our traffic now exceeds lawyers.com, and for a while we've been roughly three times the size of Martindale for quite a while now.
So how many lawyers do you have on AVO?
So 90% of the lawyers in the country are rated on AVO, and we have roughly 1.2 million records of attorneys in the database. They're not all practicing attorneys, but of those practicing attorneys right now, roughly 90% of the lawyers in the country are rated on AVO.
When you say they're rated on AVO, what does that mean?
Sure. So one of the things when we started this concept and we talked to consumers about how they go about rating attorneys, they found that it was very difficult to actually evaluate the background of an attorney. And you can imagine this, if you were given the bio or the resume of an attorney, you would be able to very quickly provide a snap judgment, you know, within 10 seconds of whether or not this was someone that you wanted to talk further with. Consumers who had no legal background, no legal education, no real legal understanding, obviously find this resume scoring very difficult. And so we developed a numerical rating on a scale of 1 to 10 that essentially is a resume scoring device. And we look at the attorney's background that you would see on a resume and through a fairly sophisticated algorithm assign a score of 1 to 10, which is essentially what you do in your own mind when you look at any given resume. That's exactly how you determine whether or not you want to move forward or not with any given individual. So we have the AVO rating, which is a scale of 1 to 10, and we apply that rating to attorneys who we have some deeper information on. So we have some deep background information. They may have provided that information by claiming their profile on AVO. That's a process where an attorney can actually go in and manage their AVO profile on their own. We also have a research team that goes back and researches online attorney profiles and information about attorneys and enter that into the database. So that information turns into that 1 to 10 rating. In addition, for those attorneys for whom we don't have a depth of information, we provide a concern or a no concern rating. And that is essentially an indicator of whether or not the attorney has been cited for misconduct by a bar. We believe that that's fairly important for a consumer in determining what attorney they should hire.
So in other words, even though a lawyer has not opted into your system, has not provided you with any information from his or her own fingertips, so to speak, you still would rate a lawyer?
Absolutely, yes. So,
on what basis? Where do you get your information?
So the information is, so we have a data team that's led by two attorneys, and they essentially look through, this data team essentially looks through attorney websites, and they will pull data from the most common sources, like a bio page on a law firm website, that will cite, that resume of the attorney. And so we'll take that information, input it into the profile, which then activates the algorithm, and there's a score.
Most lawyers, I would suspect, still don't have websites. Where do you get the information in that case?
So one of the things that makes us different is we actually have a comprehensive profile or a comprehensive listing of most of the states in which we're in. So that listing, the base information, comes directly from the state bars. So it's kind of rank, file, serial number type information. Has there been any bar misconduct? When were they admitted to the bar? Were they admitted to the bar? Their name, that kind of information. And so that's where our base layer of information comes from.
So you are saying then that 50 states have given you access to their directories and this base level of information, or you're not?
So we have 24 of the states that have provided this public record information to us comprehensively. We're working with some of the other states to get that information and expand out.
Okay. And if you have the base information but nothing mm-hmm. more, and there's no disciplinary proceeding on file, what is the rating that you would give for that lawyer?
If all we have is kind of that base profile information from the state bar and there's no disciplinary information, that attorney would have a no concern rating, which indicates that we haven't found any disciplinary information, but we don't have any other information available.
Okay, let me add one factor to that then and see
sure.
what's changed. If the lawyer has a website, talks mm-hmm. about the services that he or she offers, what's the rating then? Still concern, no concern?
No, so once we actually look at an attorney's website and our data team researches that attorney, we'll take the information that we can research and find on the site, add it into the profile, and that will then activate that numerical rating. So based on what the attorney provides, let's just take that profile page because it's the most common example. Based on what they have as information on their own biography page, we then turn on the numerical rating.
Okay. Now, how do you translate the verbiage in the English language on the website or otherwise into a number? I mean, I can understand concern, no concern, but I don't understand how you convert that into a number.
Yeah, so if you can imagine, and again, I go back to that scanning a resume example. When you look at a resume, you're essentially in your own mind running a sophisticated algorithm that evaluates the background of that attorney. What we've done is kind of systematized that. So we say, oh, okay, this looks like a very impressive resume. Here are a bunch of entries that indicate a very high-quality attorney. And it may have to do with their speaking engagements. It may have to do with firms that they worked at. Anything that on a resume would be impressive, we actually assign a numerical value to that, and it then has an impact on that AVA rating.
Fascinating. And
yeah.
What challenge, if any, has ever been given to this algorithm? I can't even say the word.
Algorithm?
Yeah, thank you. To this logarithm approach.
Sure. So, I mean,
where does it come from?
Not a brand new concept. It's just a brand new concept that has been applied to the law. So this has been going on. People have been doing this with washers and dryers ever since Consumer Reports opened its doors. What hasn't happened is it has never been applied to the legal industry. So as you imagine, one of the things that when you do rate attorneys or rate anything is that there is the good and the bad. And in our opinion, let's take a sanction as an example, we think that should have a negative impact on a rating, and so that may show up as a caution or a big concern in the AVA rating. Now, it didn't take very long for someone who had been sanctioned to sue us. In fact, it was 9 days after we launched that we received our first lawsuit. That was fortunately overthrown on First Amendment grounds, recognizing our right to publish this as our opinion of the attorney's likelihood that they will be able to provide a good service.
So if then I'm hearing you correctly, whether a lawyer wants it or not, he or she is going to be rated by AVO, and there's no cost to be rated, as we're saying, correct?
Correct. So one of the things, I mean, I talked early on about how different we are. One of the things that has been very important to us is we are free for both the consumer and the attorney. We provide this information to the consumer for free, and we provide a free opportunity for the attorney to show off this information. And so it is a free profile, which means we're comprehensive and we're free, and that has really, really taken hold.
Now, if a lawyer doesn't like the rating that he or she gets from you, or if the lawyer wants to modify his or her own profile as you have put it up there, what does that process look like?
Well, it's actually really simple. So the reality is, no matter how good our data team is, there is no way that we are going to know every single piece of information about every single lawyer as soon as it happens. So what attorneys can do is actually claim their profile and manage that information on their own. We have a very simple process where you can do that. We offer two ways to say, hey, I actually am this Bill Smith, the attorney. One is through the email address that the bar has on record. If we have that email address, they can simply send us an email from that address. And the second way to do it is confirming their identity with a credit card, which we don't charge. We just use it to confirm their identity. So once that happens, they can essentially manage their AVO profile, update it as often as they want, do whatever they want with it, input as much information on it as they want. And that has a great way of making sure that the information on that profile is up to date and complete and presented in the manner in which the attorney wants it presented.
Well, you say in which the attorney wants it presented, but your team has already gone in there, created the profile, and come to a conclusion. How is it that you are allowing the attorney to change the looks and feel of that profile?
Well, I mean, they can go in and edit any and all information that our data team has inputted in there. So if there is something that they want to update, if there's something they want to clarify, if there's things that we have missed, they're absolutely free to go. In fact, we would encourage them to do it.
And they could also then delete, is what you're saying. They could delete a piece of information.
They can delete almost everything on their profile. And the one thing that they really can't delete are client reviews and sanction history.
And also then the rating or conclusion of the AVO team. That's
correct.
Not going to be changeable.
Well, not exactly. So it's very – we do this in real time where, let's say, Bill, the lawyer, on his AVO profile, we didn't know that he just won the award for being the best DUI attorney in Minnesota, and he adds that to the profile. And we recognize that award, and that will immediately have an impact on that AVO rating. So the AVO rating is not a static number. It is fluid and it's dynamic, and it changes over time with the amount of information that we have regarding an attorney.
Hmm.
And it changes in real time.
How does it change in real time? You mean it just fits into the logarithm and that somehow automatically changes?
Here's an easy example. Let's say we don't know that Bill Smith, the lawyer, was AV rated last year.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Smith comes in, inputs his AV rating. We recognize that AV rating. and take that into account when we look and calculate that AVO, the numerical AVO rating. So we, as soon as he enters that, his rating will may be impacted.
Now, this is something like what, an autoresponder? It just happens automatically, electronically?
It happens electronically.
So it's not something that your team has to physically see or observe and then change?
So the times when we actually look at things are when someone enters anything that we have not seen before. And if we haven't seen before, we have this research team that will actually go out and make sure that this award actually exists. Or this speaking engagement actually exists, or this organization actually exists, and that it's not just something that the attorney has created, which has happened on occasion. It has happened.
No, lawyers wouldn't do that, would they?
In all honesty, it happens very rarely, and when it does happen, it's very funny. But we have seen, some societies that have been created by an attorney that hand out awards that happen to go to that attorney.
I'm shocked.
It's actually very rare.
We hear more and more about AVO, and aside from your being a great marketer, what's fueled the growth?
Yeah, I think what it really comes down to is we provide more information and better guidance to consumers than they can get anywhere else. So, for example, and this is just one example, but we have the largest Q&A forum for consumers to actually ask questions of attorneys online and get a response from an attorney for free. So if you can imagine, I mean, there are a lot of people who are very lost and scared and really don't even have the basis of where do I start with my legal issue. So by helping them for free get information and guidance with regard to their legal issue, the product has become so compelling that it's really just spread like wildfire.
Now, that would be what? AVO Answers?
Yeah, that's the AVO Answers product. Now, AVO Answers gets 20,000 questions every month from consumers in a specific geography, in a specific practice area, looking for their basic legal information.
Wow. And do all those questions get answered by lawyers?
They're all answered by lawyers. Well, actually, let me answer this specifically. Not all of the questions are answered. There are some questions that we get in that are in all honesty, completely nonsensical. So not every single question gets answered, but I think our answer rate is close to 60 or 70%. 60 or 70% get answered within about 48 hours.
Really?
And most of those answers, 99.9% of them, come from attorneys.
And do your folks on staff do any of the culling, or just the questions are left out there for lawyers to go in and review as and when they can?
Exactly. And one of the things that we do is we've tried to make it very easy for attorneys to say, okay, I'm a DUI lawyer in Poughkeepsie, New York. Send me an email notification anytime someone in this area asks a DUI question. So we make it really easy for attorneys to come back and actually converse with these consumers.
And what liability, if any, do the lawyers have under the concept of providing legal advice to clients or people not yet their clients, but still under an implied in fact theory, become their clients?
Yeah, so this is one of those examples where attorneys are taught to spot risks. They spend 3 years learning how to spot all the risks.
Right.
And so I hear that we get this question regularly. The reality is attorneys are providing this basic level of information every time they go to a cocktail party, every time they talk to someone on a plane. I know that as soon as you say, hey, I'm an attorney, you will get pestered by some stranger for some basic information. And
they're taught not to answer that.
Well, so
how is it different here?
You don't get to that point where you're really talking about specifics that would require that attorney-client relationship. And to the extent that you get to that level, the attorney should know to say, hey, you know what, this is a general standing of this issue. But if you really want to get into the specifics, you should really talk to an attorney, and I might be someone that you want to talk to. This happens all the time.
So in other words, the lawyer really has to sort of either have the caveat there or at the end of the dissertation say, but this is not intended as legal advice for your specific matter. Go see counsel.
Yeah, lots of the attorneys put that disclaimer on their AVO answers, and to the extent that makes them feel comfortable, I think that's fine. The reality is, from a common sense approach, you guys know when you're really soliciting business and giving out really specific free information and building that client attorney relationship, and when you're not, and that's really the line that the attorneys need to make sure that they don't cross. And for the most part, we've never had an issue with this.
What has been the response to AVO, from some of the states like Texas and Florida that are particularly hard on lawyers and their advertising efforts? Have you found anything specific there as contrasted with other states?
Sure. Texas has been great. And in fact, it's taken a while, but Florida has also become a really great state for us. They took a little while to figure us out because we're very new, and they actually held a hearing. I believe it was their ethics committee held a hearing about AVO, and invited us to talk to them. And once we explained exactly how we worked and what we were doing, they seemed to really embrace it. Now, Florida still has some outstanding questions with regards to there was a lawsuit that was very specific about whether or not attorneys could whether or not they controlled the information in their profile. And so it became clear that the attorneys actually don't control the information in their AVO profile. In fact, that's one of the things that provides that transparency that consumers seek. And so Florida seems to be fairly happy with us. I know there are some states that we have. So, for example, we're not in South Carolina right now. And South Carolina came out with a hypothetical decision that named a company X that very clearly looked very much like AVO. And they really said, hey, you know what, lawyers can't really participate in this because once they claim their profile on a hypothetical site like Company X, they would be responsible for all of the information on that site. The interesting thing about that opinion was that it expressly said that it didn't take into account any of the constitutional ramifications of that decision. So I suspect that will go away fairly quickly.
Well, they can control the profile content, according to what our earlier discussion was, can they not? I mean, they can go into the profile and edit it.
Well, there's a lot of information that they can control, but this is as it relates to testimonials, and this was an issue in Florida. Do attorneys control the client reviews that are left by people on AVO? So, and we expressly don't let attorneys take down client reviews because we need to be transparent about the information that is displayed about an attorney. So they really don't have control over those testimonials.
So they have control over their profile, but not over the testimonials
or the
critiques.
Information.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And that was sufficient for Florida.
I believe we are good with Florida. South Carolina, we're not in South Carolina, so it's not an issue yet, but I suspect that will disappear fairly quickly.
Okay. Well, what are some of the new things coming online for AVO?
So one of the things that we did when we launched our advertising product, this came out, around March of this year. One of the things, and I've been in online marketing all my life, that we found is people really wanted more information. They wanted more customization. They wanted more ability to control their profile. So we launched this advertising product, and on top of that, we just launched, I want to say earlier or late last month, we launched AVO Pro, which is essentially the opportunity for an attorney to have a little more control over their profile. So there's some more customization options there are greater, it's a greater call to action. So it's actually encouraging people to pick up the phone and call the attorney. Their phone number is displayed much more prominently and on more pages. And the final thing that we offer is really, really comprehensive reporting. And so the attorney can see exactly how much business we are driving to their practice. We do that through tracked phone calls. We track information like how many website visits did we send to an attorney, how many emails did we send to an attorney, how many page views of any of their answers, participation were viewed. So it's more reporting than the legal profession has been privy to ever.
How is it that you send customers to lawyers? How is it that you send email inquiries or questions to lawyers?
Sure. So there's really three methods by which we send prospects to attorneys. And the first is basic websites, right? So we drive a ton of website traffic to attorney websites. The second way is email. They can contact the attorney via email through Avvo. We don't actually disclose the lawyer's email address because that's just an open can of worm for spam. And finally, and obviously the most qualified lead is that person who picks up the phone and gives a call. The Avvo Pro product actually provides that phone call tracking so they can actually see how many people are calling and even where they're calling from.
So are you saying that people use Avvo to find attorneys, not just to find out about attorneys?
Yeah, there's really two separate functions on the site, if you think about it. One is, and this is very common, and this is what attorneys like to hear, oh, well, I'm such a great attorney that all my work is word of mouth. What generally happens is you'll say, okay, well Jerry Riskin is this great estate planning attorney. And then so the person who gets the referral will go online and check out Jerry Riskin. So that's one way. The other way, and this is actually much more common, is attorneys or consumers starting out from ground zero. Instead of going to the yellow pages, they might go to Google, they might go to Avvo, and they actually say, hey, I'm looking for a DUI attorney in Champaign, Illinois. And we help connect those people with the information and guidance they need to make a really good decision. So we actually drive every month 150,000 connections to attorneys through Avvo, and that's via phone, email, and website traffic.
Well, that's pretty powerful.
Yeah, I can't say this because I don't have all of the stats, but I don't believe anyone else is driving that kind of business for the legal profession.
And you're able to track that and track their connectivity then with the lawyers.
So one of the things, when we launched the advertising product, we had this satisfaction guarantee. And one of the most important things when you're dealing with online marketing and things like satisfaction guarantee is we really need to demonstrate that value. And so we do track all of that information, and we provide that information directly to our advertisers.
And what does it cost then to advertise?
So it really depends. The advertising, one of the things that we learned by listening to attorneys is we really need to make sure that we're delivering value. So our advertising is based on the traffic that we get within any given geographic practice area concentration. Okay, so what that essentially means is if we have a lot of traffic and we're driving a ton of value and it's really valuable traffic, it's going to be fairly expensive. It can be upwards. I think our most expensive ad right now is $2,037 a month. And in those areas where we have less traffic, say take, I love this example. Let's take the maritime lawyer in Nebraska, right? Not much going on there. So our base cost is $100.
And that's just a flat fee. That's not based on how much traffic they're getting.
It's a flat fee on a monthly basis. So if we see any swings, as we see new markets opening, so Florida, for example, has just exploded as a market for us. As that traffic increases, the price actually increases as well.
Well, Conrad, it sounds like you've got a new way for a revenue-based business. and it sounds fascinating. And I'm sure that lawyers around the country are taking a note of you. And I'm glad to have had the opportunity to have this interview and promote AVO even more. Thanks for joining us today.
It was my pleasure. Thank you very much.
You have been listening to a Law Biz podcast. For more podcasts, please visit www.lawbiz.com/podcasts.html. You can read more about this and other topics from the business of law at www.lawbizblog.com, or start your own discussion about this topic at www.lawbizforum.com. Join today. Feel free to tell your friends and colleagues about Law Biz podcasts. You may duplicate this program in part or in whole, provided that you retain appropriate attribution and copyright notices.